glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. And so you can also go to Psalms 47. It's one of the missionary psalms. And today we're in Psalm 67, and it's a missionary psalm, but it's not a very well-known one. But it does have a tremendously powerful message. And let me just tell you, the message is so powerful in this psalm. For some of us today, this psalm may actually change how we think about God in some ways. It may change for some of us what we understand is our purpose as a follower of Jesus Christ and part of God's people. And then for others of us, this psalm may change for us the way that we think or have thought about Christian missions. A lot of us grew up in churches where missions was a program. You had the discipleship program over here, maybe the children's program over here, and then you had the missions program over here. And in that missions program, their job was to make sure that we had some missions education in the church and that we gave offerings to missionaries and that we prayed for missionaries. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I am saying it's incomplete. And so at the very heart of missions is what's at the very heart of Psalm 67, and that is the glory of God. There is blessing and favor of God given to the people of God so that the people of the world might come to know and experience God's salvation, blessings, joy, and worship in their lives. And so with that, let's read through this psalm this morning, Psalm 67. I hope you have a scripture in front of you. We didn't put this one on the screen. Psalm 67. To the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And I don't know if you noticed it, but I mean, just in general observation, this psalm shows us some things about God. For one thing, in verse 1, it tells us that God is this gracious God who wants to bless and shine his face on his people. And then you get to verse 2, and it starts talking about how this is done, the blessings poured out on God's people, that all people might be able to know the saving power of God. And so that all the peoples of the nations could praise him and be glad and in the Lord and sing for joy, and that God would be known for being sound and perfect in his justice, and that he would be known as the one who leads the nations. And in the last verse, that God would be feared by the peoples of the world. And I think a lot of times it's hard for us to understand that idea of being the fear of the Lord, but I think an easy way to understand the fear of the Lord is to look at it in what it's not, the opposite of what the fear of the Lord would be, because the opposite of the fear of the Lord would be like taking God casual or as indifferent to God or as just cavalier about God. And so the fear of the Lord, the people would fear the Lord, means that they would be the opposite of that, and there would be a weight and a glory of who God is. And so, and the mission is that all the nations would come to know and to glorify God. So, let's look at the psalm. At the very beginning of the psalm, and by the way, this is part of the inspired text, to the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm. God's people are not just to come together to pray and to listen to a message. We're to be a singing people. We're to use the gift of our singing to praise the Lord. And this is found in other places, like Psalms 84, verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Or how about Psalms 108, verse 1. My heart is satisfied, O God. I will sing and make music with all my being. And so this psalm is a divinely inspired scripture, but it's also a song to be sung. And when we look at this, it is a song to be led by the worship leader, played with the stringed instruments, and sung by the people of God. And then, what are we supposed to sing? Verse 1. May God be gracious to us, O God, and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. And when you first read that, it almost sounds self-serving, doesn't it? It almost sounds like a prosperity kind of idea that I just want God to bless me so that I can be more prosperous, I can be more self-absorbed in who I am and get all those things I want. But as you read this, he is not talking about seeking God's blessing so that you can get God on your agenda. What he's talking about here is seeking God's blessings so that you can be on God's agenda, and it takes God working in your life for you to get on God's agenda, and so we need that. And here's why we need the blessing of God also when you get to verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Psalm 67 calls the people of God to call on God for blessing and favor so that the people of God might join in knowing and so that the people of God might go to the people of the world so that the people of the world would join in knowing and blessing and knowing the favor of God in their lives. When the people of God long for the saving power of God to be known among the nations, that the people of the nations might join the people of God in joyfully giving glory to God, that is missions. And how do we link up to that? How do we join the people, the worshiping missional people of God through the history of the world? How do we join the people of God in longing for the saving power of God to touch the lives of the peoples of the nations of the world that they might join in joyfully giving glory to God with the people of God? How do we do that? And let me just say, in verse 1, it seems to me like it all starts when us, as the people of God, genuinely seek God for his grace, his blessing, and his favor. All of which are needed so that we could have a relationship with God, not so we can just have some kind of self-fulfillment ourselves. Look at verse 1 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Not just so we can know personal well-being and things like that, but so that the nations could come to know him. And when you look at this idea of God being gracious to us and blessing us, his face shining upon us, for those of us that grew up in church, we probably remember somebody saying some words like that. They kind of like might put up their hands and they would bless us. And this actually stems and is very similar to the Old Testament priestly blessing, which was listed in Numbers chapter 6. And Moses told Aaron, who was the high priest, and his sons who were the priests, to bless the people. And here's how they were to bless the people. They were to say, and this is Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. This blessing is not about we want self-fulfillment, but this blessing is about what we need for a relationship with God. And so the priests were to bless the people. And it was to remind the people, you need the blessing of God, not the cursing of God. You as his people, you have the keeping of God and not the rejection of God. You as the people of God, you have God's face shining on you, which is a beautiful thing. And it's like a mother looking into the eyes of a little child and that face just shining with welcome and kindness and not scalding with anger. And you have that as the people of God. The priest would be blessing the people, that his countenance would be lifted upon you, that you would know his kindness and of his presence and give you peace. And that word peace is the word shalom. And it's that inner completeness of joy in the Lord. It's shalom, peace is the peace of knowing in your heart that it's the way it's supposed to be. Because God's got it all ordered in his sovereignty. Now, I want you to notice a little bit of a difference between the priestly blessing and Psalm 67, verse 1. The priestly blessing was, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And then you get to Psalm 67. And may God be gracious to us and to bless us and to make his face shine upon us. And so this is basically taking the promises of God's priestly blessing from the book of Numbers and making it into a prayer of the people of God in the Psalms chapter 67, verse 1. It's the people of God crying out to God, oh God, we need your grace. We need your blessing. We need to know that your face is shining up on us, because we'll never be your people the way we're to be your people unless we understand that your purpose is to bless us and give us the grace that we need to be your people. We all need God's grace. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In the book of Ephesians, it calls sinners in chapter 2 the enemies of God. None of us deserve to be named among the people of God. That's what the priestly blessing was for, so that the people would know, man, we're part of the people of God. We're the ones he blesses. We're the ones he keeps. And we're to cry out for that because we know we don't deserve it. We've all been created in God's image, but we've all marred the image of God through our own sin and self-absorption, self-rule. We've all failed to know, love, honor, value, glorify, and trust in God as his kingship deserves. But here God is calling his people, those who have responded to his grace and have by faith placed their trust in God and in God's grace, and we're to remember who we are. And we're to remember that we might know and experience the blessing and the grace and the shining of God's face on us. Once again, the purpose of being the people of God is to know the blessing of God's shining face upon us, even though we don't deserve it. And that's what he's created us for. That we, as undeserving part of his creation, could know the purpose for which he created us in the beginning. And we could know, man, his face shining on me. He's keeping me, not rejecting me. He's welcoming and being kind to me. And you were created for that. Can you get around that? That he wants that. And yet, even though we drift away, even though we're prone to wander, as we know we are, even though we get distracted and we stray and we get discouraged and we lose our faith sometimes or stumble in it, or we struggle through life, how do we join God's people through history in living lives for God's glory and for the joyful worship of the people of the nations, that they would come to know God too? And we do it by joining God's people and genuinely seeking God's grace, blessing, and favor in our lives. You see, grace is God giving us blessings that we don't deserve. Blessings like the love of God, the hope of God, the salvation of God, the peace of God at work in our lives. And having God's face shine upon us, having God's favor on us, even though we don't deserve it. Man, there's a personal relationship aspect to the language that is being used. If you go back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it talks about Moses. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." In Psalms 89, verse 15, we read, "Blessed are the people who know the festal shout." Don't you want to be somebody like that who knows the festivity shout? And he says, "Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." Walking in the light of God's face is walking in the light of God's presence, his favoring presence in your life. And then you get down to Psalms 27, verse 8. "You have said," this is the psalmist talking, "you have said," he's talking to God, "you have said, seek my face." By the way, it's a command right there. He's saying, "God, you've commanded that we seek your face. My heart says to you, your face, O Lord, I do seek. Hide not your face from me." You see, we've been called to seek the face of God as the people of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we read this in the New Testament. "For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is a beautiful thing. God has shown his face to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Let that one sink in. When God's light shines in our lives, it, first of all, is going to reveal the corruption of our own heart. It's going to reveal our sin and our condemnation and our unacceptability before God, how we've marred his image in our life. But God, when God's light shines, it also shines past our sins into the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's like, man, when God's light shines on me, yes, it shows me how undeserving I am. But then it shines past that to show me how beautiful Jesus is, and I can see his face, it says. You know, the one who the Bible says knew no sin, and yet he became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. That through Jesus, and us seeing Jesus in the midst of ourselves, that we could trust him, that he's lived that life we couldn't live in perfect, you know, just a perfect life before God. And that when he died as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that when he rose again showing us that there is conquering of sin and there's the hope of resurrected life in him. And you and I are called by God to embrace by faith that we're his forever when we see his face. And that we are to realize we're people of grace and blessing, and that we can know and enjoy the glory of God forever and ever and ever. How do we join God's worshiping missional people through history and longing for the saving power of God to touch the lives of the peoples of the nations that they might join in joyfully worshiping to the glory of God? How do we do that? It starts as we genuinely seek God for God's grace, blessing, and favor, because that's what we were created for, to know his grace, blessing, and favor through Jesus Christ. Selah is the little word. I forgot to read it when I first read it through, but that's the next word. That means pause. It means take that in. That I could pray, ask God to shine his face on me, bless me. I need his grace. Second thing, this whole thing strengthened this idea of the missionary purpose of God. It strengthens within us as we embrace why we've been blessed. It increases. In Psalm 67, verse 2, it says, we pray for God's blessing of that our relationship would be right with him, that God's way may be known on the earth, and that God's saving power would among all nations. Missionary living ignites in the people of God when we realize that we have been blessed, not just so that we can enjoy God's blessings, but so that others could see those blessings living in our life, and that would draw them to have a hunger for God in their own lives, that they might look to God and become part of God's worshiping people, knowing the glory of God forever. Psalm 67, the purpose of God's blessing the Old Testament people called Israel was so that God might be known on the earth and God's saving power among all the nations. Now, just as verse 1 took an Old Testament priestly blessing and made it into a prayer, verse 2 takes the Old Testament Abrahamic blessing and makes it into a worship song. Here's what it says about the blessing that came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, Abram, go from your country and go, excuse me, let me start over. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now listen to Psalms 67, 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us, and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on the earth, and your saving power among all nations. God blesses us as his people through Christ today for nothing less than the global purpose of God to be worshiped among the nations. And I want to look at Psalms 67, verse 3 to 5, which is kind of the heart of this psalm. And it's called a sandwich phrase, because there is one idea between two identical verses. And so first of all, look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Okay? And then look at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Exactly the same verse. But sandwiched in between that is the heart of the psalm. Verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Now, when it says, let the peoples praise you, let all the peoples praise you, and notice that he says peoples, plural, not people. He's not talking about individuals there, but rather, he is talking about people groups and cultures and ethnicities and language groups and tribes and nations. Let all the people groups praise you. You see, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed so that God's ways, according to verse 2, would be known among the peoples. that his saving power would be known among all nations, that his graciousness in verse 1 would be known through his peoples. So in verse 3, we would know that he desires all the peoples to praise him. In verse 4, we are blessed so that the nations could know that God desires that the nations would be glad and enjoy God and sing for joy, and that the nations would know that God judges with equity and that God has a righteousness of perfect justice. And then also that he leads the nations and guides the nations with his rule. And then in verse 7, that God blesses his people and that he is to be feared among all the peoples of the earth. The people of God are not to be a reservoir of the blessings of God, as great as those blessings are. We are to be a river that flows those blessings on into the world, to the nations. So my purpose and your purpose is not just to seek God's face and God's blessing and God's favor in our life, but our mission and our purpose is then to take those blessings and spread them and extend them in ways that God's salvation and God's power might be made known to the peoples of the nations. North Carolina pastor Jeff Long asked this question, why do we go to the nations? He said, there is a short-sighted answer that I've heard most of my life in the evangelical church. And we go to the nations because they're lost. And they're bound for hell. And he said, that answer comes up short. He said, we need to make a shift in our thinking. Mankind and humanity is not the focus of what God's doing. The focus of what God's doing is the glory of God. Without the glory of God, there'd be no hope of mankind. You see, it means that the glory of God is the focus of what God is doing in our world. And then some people might think, well, if the glory of God is the focus of what God is doing in our world, isn't God selfish? And here's the question that he brought up. He said, who or what else is God going to turn his glory to? If that's the case, who else or what else is God going to worship? If God turns his glory to someone else or something else, whatever else or whoever else that is becomes God. So because God is God, God seeks his own glory. And in his glory is what is true and what is right and what is good. And how are we ever going to be able to experience that which is truly good without being caught up in the glory of God? And that's what he's up to in our world. So because God is God and God seeks his own glory, you know, God is gracious and wondrous and we can know his justice and his mercy. God in God's glory, you know, is gracious. He's powerful to save, the scripture says. So that we who were created in his image, though we've marred his image in our own sin and falling short of God and deserving of death and eternal condemnation, God in his glory, he reaches out in his love to redeem us and to restore us through Jesus. He sets us free from sin's condemnation through the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. You know, even though Jesus never sinned, he offered himself as a sacrifice for us that we might know a restored relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that it was for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so Jesus' death and resurrection affirms for us there is a new resurrected life possible through faith in Jesus Christ, full forgiveness of our sin, reconciliation to God, and so that when his light shines on us, though we see the horridness of our own sin, we can turn and see the face of Jesus Christ and his glorious salvation. Why do we go to the nations? So that they might be glad and sing for joy because they know what it is to be part of the people worshiping the glory of God. We go to the nations so they can praise him and they can share in his grace and his mercy and the shining of his face. That's missions. We're blessed. But we're blessed not to hold on to our blessings for personal comfort and well-being. We're blessed that we might be a blessing to the world. So mission starts with us genuinely seeking God for grace, blessing, and favor. It becomes strengthened and ignites as we grasp on, we're blessed to be a blessing. And then lastly, it culminates as we share God's heart and joyfully, joyfully share in the nations worshiping God. Verse 5, let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Every language, every nation, every people group. And then verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. Your people have experienced your blessings, God. And then it says, God, our God shall bless us. Not only have we had his blessings, we shall have his blessings. And then verse 7, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Where do we see the glory of God? We see the glory of God when the peoples of the nations are glad and sing for joy and are joying God who is glorious. John Piper has given us a sentence in 21st century missions that has gone viral. And that is that missions exist because worship doesn't. The blessing of God for the salvation, for his salvation, gives rise to a praise among his people. And with that comes the desire for the peoples of the nations and every people group, language, and tribe to come to know and enjoy and worship God. The whole vision culminates in the book of Revelation. And we read this in Revelation chapter 7 of what's going on around the throne and what it has to do with the glory of God. It says this in Revelation 7, 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And that's it. That's like, what we get to be part of that if we're in Christ. And as people who are in Christ, we get to share in the glory of God, of the glory of God going to all the nations, because we've been a small part of God extending his glory into this world. This is why missions exist, for the worship and the glory of God among all the nations of the peoples of the world. This is why we go. This is why we send missionaries. This is why we give to missions. This is why we pray for missionaries. This is why we have a partnership in missions. Someone says, but there's unreached people right here in my neighborhood, at my work, in my school. And let me say, no, they're not. Because we're here. We're here to reach them. You see? The unreached ones are the 3.2 billion people in our world that live in our world. And they've been identified as unreached because they have no one living among them reaching them. Countries that might have 0.01%, maybe only 60 people out of 6 million, or 600, I guess, out of 6 million. You know, no one living among them, no one resting in God's blessing, no one that they can see that has God's face shining on them, no one to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ and how God has come to this world in the person of Jesus and lived the life we couldn't live to show us that he's the perfect sacrifice for our sins and risen again so we can know a resurrected life and we can know being caught up in the glory of God ourselves. We can know what it is to know the blessing of God and the grace of God and his face shining upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we keep going. That's the glory of God among the nations. And so may we surrender today anew. For some of us, we probably need to shift a little bit about what we thought about missions and realize, man, the very reason that I live the life that God's called me to is not just for me. It's for everybody else who's around me. Last Monday, we had a memorial service for Nancy Johnson. Ellie Adair gave a beautiful tribute to her grandma. And let me quote her. She said, "If you knew Nancy, you knew the Lord. You saw his love, patience, gratitude, and fruitfulness modeled through her." That's what it is to know the blessing of God and then to be a conduit to live out that blessing of God. I brought the old sermon props today of the bucket and the pipe. And y'all have seen it before probably. But, you know, I want to ask you today, Did you know the joy of the purpose that God has for you, that your life would be full of the blessings of God? That his face is shining on you, that you through faith in Christ have come to know what it is to know man, I've been blessed by the grace, the blessing, and the shining face of God. I know his Savior. And I have peace with God in my life. And it's like we take those blessings and it's like, oh man, it feels good. It feels good to have those blessings in our life. But if that's as far as we go, we've missed living the glory of God in our life. Because he's blessed us. Not so we can hold on to it ourselves so it can stagnate somehow. No, he's given us his blessings that we might be like a river, that we might be like a pipe. Oh God, man, help me know your blessings so I can keep pumping them through. And what a great example in Nancy, and maybe that's something we need to grab around our church at this time in the history of our church. Let's be a funnel. Let's be a funnel that takes the blessings of God. And let's not forget that God's vision is for the nations. That's why we go, that his glory might be known. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. So let me end with this, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That's the prayer of the people of God. Is that your prayer today? You know, have you even started on that journey of knowing the blessings of God through Jesus Christ? And you can get started today by just opening your life up to faith in Christ. And we want to encourage you to do that. Or if you still have questions, just come to us and ask us and let us come beside you on that journey. Secondly, oh God, bless us, that your way may be known on the earth and your saving power among all nations. And do you need to surrender to God for the missionary call of his people through the history of the people, even going back to the Old Testament? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this great psalm, how powerful it is. And God, I just pray that we would now just let you have your way, and whatever that looks like, whether even if it has nothing to do with the missionary call that we heard today, however you're stirring in our heart, may we live surrendered lives to you. And Father, thank you that you would want to bless us and that you would want to extend grace, your undeserved favor to us, and that you would want to shine your face to us in the face of Jesus Christ, dying for our sins and rising again. Thank you so much that we can be people of blessing, to be people who bless others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If there's something that you want to come and just lay at the altar today, I want to encourage you to do that. If you want to talk to someone, Pastor Brandon's over here. I'll be right over here, and you can just come talk to us, and we'll pray with you about whatever on your heart. Let's stand together.